Jonathan is going to read for us.
Ephesians 6:10-20. Finally, build up your strength in union with the Lord, and by means of his mighty power. Put on all the armor that God gives you so that you will be able to stand up against the devil's evil tricks. For we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age. So put on God's armor now. Then when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist the enemy's attacks. And after fighting to the end, you will still hold your ground. So stand ready, with truth as a belt tight around your waist, and with righteousness as your breastplate, and as your shoes, the readiness to announce the good news of peace. At all times carry faith as a shield, for with it you will be able to put out all burning arrows shot by the devil, by the evil one. And accept salvation as a helmet, and the word of God as the sword which Spirit gives you. Do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always for all God's people. And pray also for me, that God will give me a message when I am ready to speak, so that I may speak boldly and make my known the gospel's secret. For the sake of this gospel, I am an ambassador, though now I am in prison. Pray that I may be bold in speaking about the gospel as I should.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'd like to do a quick survey. How many people here, if you'd like to stick your hand up, if you pray regularly, and when I say regularly, I mean often as well, not just once a year, for your family? Great. How many of you pray regularly for your friends? Super. How many of you pray regularly for the county? Yeah, not so many, yeah. How many pray for regularly for people and places abroad? Okay, good, gives me an idea. Okay, as Dave said, we're thinking about reaching out in prayer, particularly for peoples and groups that we may never have met. Some perhaps we will have, some not. I'd like to look at basically what, why, who, how, and think of some of the challenges of doing that. What are we talking about? Well, basically, as you saw from the reading, we're talking about spiritual warfare. We're praying for those who are in the front line. It's interesting, Pam and I went to Gloucester in November, and we had to visit a friend, and we thought we'd go and visit Gloucester Cathedral while we're there. And we weren't able to get in because the cathedral was jam-packed with soldiers and their families. There's Gloucester first rifles back from Afghanistan, so not surprisingly, they were having a Thanksgiving service. But what was also interesting was outside the cathedral were three armoured personnel carriers with a bunch of troops with helmets, flak jackets, goggles, and guns. That is what I'm talking about today. That's what we need to be. Some of those troops outside, guarding the front line. Ephesians 6, Paul talks about asking for prayer that I may declare fearlessly, boldly. So why should we pray? Well, firstly, prayer is amazingly effective. If you think about who you're actually talking to, he whose hands flung stars into space is Almighty God. Give you an example. I was working in Chad for a couple of years. If you don't know where Chad is, it's in Central Africa, just south of Libya. We used to have to fly up from the capital to a place called Hykaloo, which was on the edge of Lake Victoria, sorry, Lake Chad, wrong country, where there was a Swiss mission family in this house they'd built on stilts beside a little soft sand runway, serving the people in that area, both spiritually and medically. Unfortunately, they had to evacuate because the rebels were coming down from the north. So they left the place and came back down to the capital. They left Joel, a Chadian dispensary attendant and evangelist, to continue to run the dispensary. We were banned from flying up in that area because of the rebel activity from then on. Then the rebels attacked. They burnt the mission house down. They took Joel, had him on his knees with a knife to his throat, trying to force him to renounce his faith. At that moment, there was a buzzing in the sky, and then a roaring as this red and white aeroplane came flying down the strip, which is what normal procedure would fly low to check the airstrip, make sure there are no lumps of wood or holes or buckets or things left on the strip before we landed. So this plane with two men in it flew down the strip, turned around, came back. With that, the rebels fled, disappeared off up into the desert again, and Joel was free to come back. So he told us about this when we got back. There certainly wasn't us flying the plane, and there's no one else flying red and white aeroplanes in Chad at that stage. I went up to air traffic. No record whatsoever of any planes operating in that area. So there are a couple of angels having some fun flying about aircraft. So, yeah, amazing what God can do. Another reason for prayer, missionaries are human like us. As someone said, gathered with the saints above, that will be in glory. Gathered with the saints below, well, that's another story. And can be quite tough working together with other missionaries, just as it is in church, different personalities, strong personalities. As you heard, we have a young lady who's working with Wycliffe Bible Translators sitting in the midst. So I asked Jo if she would like to give us a quick view into a day in the life of a cross-cultural worker. So over to you, Jo.
Okay, so I thought I'll tell you a bit about my day when I'm living in Tanzania. And I work with Wycliffe Bible Translators, and they are translating the Bible into tribal languages around the world. I'm not a translator. I'm actually a vernacular media consultant, which means I'm in charge of helping and creating media, audio media, video media, in tribal languages. That's what I do. So, and I help local people to learn how to do it. So I've been living in Tanzania for the last 10 years. And in Tanzania alone, there are 120 languages. And I've been working in the Mbeya project, which we're working with 13 languages at the moment. So it's a big project. So at 6:30 a.m. I wake up and my alarm clock goes off. I had already been woken up by the call to prayer from the mosques that are in the city, but I had managed to fall asleep again. Of course, I do my quiet time if I'm awake enough, and then get my breakfast. And after that, it's time to get ready for the day. I have a house help who comes in to help me with looking after house matters, and so I have to write her a list of all the things I need her to do. And I also have a night guard on the compound where I stay, and he's come to tell me, oh, he needs more dog food because the guard dogs are hungry, so I need to make sure he gets the cash before I head off to work. And of course, I must make sure I leave on time because I need to pick up my colleague, Andre, on the way to work. And as you can see, you never know what you're going to see on the way to work. There's a pig on the back of a motorbike there being carried to slaughter. And the other guy's got buckets, empty buckets for sale on the back of his bike. So you never know what you're going to see. Getting into the office, well, everything happens in Swahili. Swahili is the national language in Tanzania. So the first thing I do this morning is to go and check up on the Safwa language team. They've been working with a Jesus film recording team that's come from the States, and I'm overseeing the project, so I'm just checking everything's working all right, they're all happy, they understand each other before they get going again with their recording. Next is to catch up with my emails, of course, and I've had an inquiry from Dodoma, which is the central part of Tanzania. They would like me to help with recording a project next month, and we'll be doing a recording of an oral Bible translation. So they haven't done any written work as they've translated the Bible, they've done it all verbally. And so my job will be to create a good recording of that oral translation. And so I talk with the operations manager in the office and ask her if she can book a bus ticket for me. The bus ride to Dodoma is about 11 hours with a 5-minute stop along the way, so you do have to ration your drinking accordingly. So that's going to be next week. And my actual project of the day is creating all the audio folders for MegaVoice players. Here's one, if you want to have a look at it later. These are solar-powered MP3 players. And so what I'm doing is creating the audio files to then put on the players, and it'll be in three different language groups. And I put all the audio that we've recorded over the last few years onto those players. Of course, one always must have a tea break at some point. So at 10:15, we have tea time, and all my colleagues, we join together to sing and pray and to have a devotional thought for the day. I also see one of the Jesus film recording team. They're having a bit of a break and take some time to talk with him, because he was unwell a few days earlier, and I needed to make sure he was okay. And so after that, I continue working with my MegaVoice players and copying and getting things ready. 1 p.m. is time for lunch, and I sit with my colleague Steve Pence, who's from America, and Albert, who's from the Netherlands, at the on-site restaurant. And Steve does the IT maintenance for us. He runs over 60 laptops. And Albert is a translation advisor, so he's working with a Sangu language team. So it's always interesting to hear what they're doing and how maybe I can help them with my media stuff. After lunch, you continue on with work, and I'm still copying the MegaVoice players, but suddenly the Jesus film comes to me and says, could you come and help? One of your colleagues needs a break from translating from English into Swahili, so could you come and help explain to the language speakers as we record them whether they should say the phrase we're recording faster or slower, if they put more emotion, happiness, sadness, sternness, whatever character they're reading, if they could do that. So around 4:30, 4:45, I finish off with work, and me and my colleague Andrea, on our way home, we go shopping. This is our food shopping option. just do the bits and pieces you need to do on the way home before getting home, and of course having a cup of tea. Always glad for a cuppa after a day's work. And of course, there's always still things to do around the house. This evening, I've got a Bible study coming up, and we do potluck. And so I've got to prepare tomato salad. But before that, I've got to make sure my water filters are topped up, so I actually have clean water to do my food preparation with. And then, of course, at 6:30, off I go to my Bible study group. These are all fellow expats who do different work around the city, and it's a good time to share together, to pray together, and to worship together. So we often joke that missionary midnight is around 9 p.m. because there's so much going on, and being in another culture is quite tiring, and so I'm very glad to fall into bed just after 9 p.m. So, good night. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Joe. So, some glimpses as to why we should be praying for people, particularly working in that sort of situation. Next question, who should we be praying for? I've just given you a few examples there of organisations we have contact with. Maybe you should be praying more for some personal contacts. Perhaps God's reminding you about someone in particular. Or maybe someone that you've not heard of before. Perhaps some of the youth groups that are going on the bus now at Corsham and Rudlow and other places. Perhaps contacts with the army. Perhaps travellers. Perhaps the school in India that we as a church support. Or perhaps get involved more in praying for the Women Without Roofs that Anna had set up. Perhaps other organisations such as Tear Fund, Wycliffe Bible Translators, Mission Aviation Fellowship. How many of you have heard of Operation Mobilisation? Yeah, quite a number. That's the bottom left-hand corner of the ship there. Scripture Union, another organisation, does excellent work, particularly children's work in summer camps and things. How many of you have heard of SAT7? Yep, some. Did you know SAT7 is based in Chippenham? Basically, they're an organisation that produce highly professional television programmes in Arabic for satellite broadcasting. But you can also look at them online on YouTube. They really are an excellent organisation, and they provide educational programmes, learning English, maths, etc., particularly for families abroad in refugee camps, but also for refugees who are Wiltshire County Council brought in, have invited into the county. So. They really are a good organisation. Have you heard of Rock UK? Yeah? What do they do, Isabella?
Rely on adventure.
Yeah, so basically outdoor adventure type stuff, rock climbing. Our son Mark is working with them in Wales. They have this massive indoor climbing centre. I think they're shortly going to have the highest climbing wall in UK, I think it is. So yeah, plus mountain biking, archery, etc., etc. Adventure Plus near Whitney. These are all Christian organisations involved with young people, perhaps not so young as well. The only snag is, if you start praying for some of these organisations, sometimes you might suddenly find God is saying, go. I was with MAF in the main base in Tanzania one day, and the manager was saying about this new base they're thinking of opening up in the south of the country, right down near the Mozambique border. I thought, that's interesting. Be happy to pray for that. Suddenly felt this hand on my shoulder, and it wasn't the manager's hand. And we ended up going down into the south of Tanzania and setting up a base down there. So yes, perhaps God might be calling you as you pray for other organisations to actually go. Particularly, we know Luke went on Latin Link to South America. Joe, can you tell us about Operation Mobilisation? Mm-hmm. Come and grab a seat.
Yep.
So how old were you when you joined OM for a short time?
The very first time I did a two-week mission, if you like, or a trip with them in Derby, and I was 15 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then when you went on the ship?
Yeah, I had just finished school, I was 17, and I joined the ship that you see up there, one of the ships that you see up there, with OM.
Where did you join the ship?
I joined the ship in Tanzania, because that's where we were living at the time, and it came to Tanzania at the right time.
Which port?
Dar es Salaam.
Yeah. And where did you go on the ship?
Okay. I started in Dar es Salaam, went all the way down to South Africa, to Cape Town, around the coast there, and then went across to Madagascar and Mauritius, up to India, and then across from India to Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, and finished off in the Philippines in a year. That was within a year.
What sort of things were you doing on board?
Well, there were several things. They give training while you're working with them. And so we were receiving training in all Bible stuff, God stuff, if you like, learning how to do evangelism. We were working with local churches wherever we were, doing whatever they asked us to do, whether it was going door to door or street evangelism or just speaking at a Bible study. The other thing I did was they have a big bookshop on board, and they sell educational books as well as Christian books, which is a way of getting into different countries. And so my job was being in the bookshop, selling books, and being the finance person for that.
Thank you, Joe. Did anyone else have any questions on that?
How many people are on the ship?
The ship I was on, we were about 340 people. So we had our own dentist, our own doctor. We had a little school on board for the families, and so on.
One more question. Mm-hmm. Did you have to help with practical tasks on the ship as well?
Well, with the bookshop, definitely, because if you were sailing from one place to another, you weren't necessarily working in the bookshop. You were then working as crew, whether it was the cleaning team or painting the deck, washing the roof, you know, things like that.
Great. Okay, thank you, Joe. Yes, OM actually do short-term experience ones called STEPs, things short-term extension program, where you can join the ship for 3 months. There are SU camps you can help with. OM work with in Greece with refugees, if God is calling you in that direction. Rock UK and Adventure Plus also have short-term apprentices working with them. So there's all sorts of opportunities that perhaps God might put on your heart. Okay, thinking about how to pray, really some just practical points. On the table at the back, you may have seen as you came in, there's various resources there, information, prayer diaries. I use one for math to help me pray more regularly for the different areas of math, and also learn an awful lot of things through it. So feel free to help yourself to any of those things that you might see up there on the table. Someone said, God's armour is made for you. You just need to put it on. And perhaps that's sometimes something we forget to do, is actually put on God's armour. God may have given you a gift of tongues, prayer language. Well, use it. I find it so easy to forget, but Paul talks about praying with the mind and with the spirit, and often, particularly when you're praying for people in remote situations, it's difficult to know how you should be praying for them. Well, use that gift, because God knows what he wants you to pray about, so please do use the gift. I have issued and want to hand out to you, if you people who got them, some cards here, daily praying praying plan, what you could call cutting edge technology. It's got quite sharp edges.
See what I mean about jokes.
Doesn't crash, instant boot up, and the screen doesn't crack either. Not only that, but on the back, there's a high power, high capacity power pack. In Ephesians chapter 3, there's this amazing prayer by Paul. So if you are stuck to know what to pray for someone, have a look at this card, because some of the things in that about praying for God's power, getting to know his love, the depth and breadth of it, the fact that he can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or think. So just a suggestion, if you don't do it already, then perhaps you might want to write down some of the things on this prayer plan, so it'll help you to be more regular in praying for people. There's plenty of prayer notes, apps, that you can find to give you information on how to pray. Perhaps contact the Missionaries Direct and get their newsletters. Engage your imagination. What sort of things do you think we should be praying for them? There are various videos and things. I'll just show you a quick clip of one from MAF.
MAF works so that individual lives, churches, and communities can be transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. Working alongside our many partners to bring medical care, community development, Bible translation, evangelism, and ultimately hope to places where there is none. Mission Aviation Fellowship continues to share Christ's love from deep jungles to rugged mountains to war-torn countries. Because we believe everyone deserves access to basic human needs. Everyone deserves a chance to hear the name of Jesus Christ.
God has brought hope to a place where there was no hope, and it impacted these people. It changed me.
Yeah, videos like that can perhaps inspire your prayers if you're finding you're flagging. You could join a prayer group. There's one for Open Blue next week. We go to a Wycliffe prayer meeting, which is bi-monthly, praying for missionaries such as Joe and other families around the world. And the good thing about that is you get feedback at those meetings too. Give you some clues about what sort of things they need prayer for. What about challenges? As we all know, prayer is challenging. Plenty of distractions, discouragements. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, be alert, keep on praying for all God's people. As we know, there's all sorts of hindrances. I realized the other day why a smartphone is called a smartphone, because it knows when you're praying and starts to ping all sorts of messages. Yes, so put it in another room. Children suddenly have needs that you hadn't planned for. Your mind wanders, or you start feeling sleepy if you've had a long day, all sorts of things. Record answers to prayer to encourage you. This young lady over here on my right has been busy slaving away with a hot paintbrush and various art tools, making this superb picture. Can anyone tell me what the two shadows on the wall remind you of?
David and Goliath.
David and Goliath, yes. Who is the person walking along holding his Bible. Do you think, who would that represent? Sorry?
Us.
Yeah, any one of us. So as we are praying, reading our Bible, in the shadow behind, you see the real conflict going on. So basically what you're looking at is a picture showing the visible world and the spiritual world. Because if you remember the story about David and Goliath, David said he was going into combat with Goliath, and the king wanted him to put on some physical armor, because Goliath had pretty heavy armor and spear, etc. He tried the physical armor and couldn't manage it. So what did he use to come against Goliath with? Sorry?
The sling.
What else? I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. So he was effectively putting on the spiritual armor. Wasn't just the sling, which was the physical part, but because he came against this enemy with spiritual protection, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord God. So thank you, Chiquita, for your hard work there. That's super, really good. After this I looked, and there was an enormous crowd. No one could count all the people. They were from every race, tribe, nation, and language. And they stood in front of the throne of the Lamb. That is our goal. Let's pray. Lord, as I put on your armor, where do you want me to pray? Where is the front line weak and under attack? As Paul said, as for this reason I kneel before the Father, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Amen.
Thanks, John. Before you move away, just spend a moment or two talking to one another about the thing out of this morning's session that struck you. Take a look.